God has already given to you everything that is necessary for the battle. You're not lacking anything. There's not a second blessing out there that some people get and that other Christians have to live without, because God doesn't deal with his family that way. It's found in what we're going to see here today.
The Apostle Paul has instructed us to put on the full armor of God, including truth, righteousness, and peace. The question is, do those attributes come from our own effort? Well, on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green again turns to Ephesians 6 for the answer as he begins a message titled Strong in the Word, the latest installment of our current series, Strong for Battle. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And Don, so often when the Bible calls us to righteous behavior, we squirm under the reality of our own inconsistency and inability to fulfill the call. Turns out that's not a bad thing, right?
You know, my brother or sister in Christ, we all know the sense of weakness and frustration that comes when we stumble in our Christian lives. The book of James says that we all stumble in many ways. Well, let your stumbles serve a good purpose. Let them point you to Christ, who forgives your sins when you confess them to him. And remember God's providence, that he's at work in everything that happens in your life. As you look to God like that, you'll find that he gives you strength to carry on.
Thanks, Don. And friend, have your Bible open to Ephesians 6 as we join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
The question is, how is it that we can be strong? Scripture says, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Stand, resist. How is it that you do that? That's the question. And that brings us to our text for today, verses 14 and 15. Paul, having introduced the idea of a struggle and armor, now builds on the military imagery and shows us the path to success, how it is that you can be ready for battle. Look at verses 14 and 15 with me. He says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at verse 16 and 17, which says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So Paul gives a comprehensive view of the armor that God has given us to be strong, to stand firm. Beloved, basic observation here as we start. In this passage, verses 14 through 17, Paul, I just want to make a very simple observation for you. Paul is giving us an extended metaphor. He's giving us a word picture. He's illustrating unseen spiritual realities with physical pictures to help us understand and to grasp and to assimilate what he is saying. He does this so that you would be able to receive this truth and be anchored in it. And so he uses a picture like you do with your children. You'll illustrate things. You'll say, well, this is like this, honey. And you'll illustrate things so that your child can compare something that is inside his experience with something that is outside his experience in order to be able to grow. Here in this passage, this is so basic, but it's so really important. The physical pieces of armor, the description of physical armor that Paul uses here, is pointing to a truth that strengthens you to stand firm in the Christian life. He's obviously not telling us to literally put on physical armor. He's using the picture of an armor to show you the spiritual resources that are yours in Christ. And why does he do that? So that you could stand firm, so that you could be strong in the strength of the Lord and in the strength of his might. God, beloved, here's the thing. God has already given to you as a Christian everything that is necessary for you to stand firm. You don't need standards of righteousness that go outside the Bible. You don't need revelation in addition to Scripture in order to stand firm. God's already given everything to you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me remind you of that. And to realize the position of strength with which God has endowed you. For Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, simple point here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God has already given to you everything that is necessary for the battle. You're not lacking anything. There's not a second blessing out there that some people get and that other Christians have to live without, because God doesn't deal with his family that way. Every child of God has the fullness of the blessing that God gives to his family, gives to his children. It's found in what we're going to see here today. Here's the point in the context of Ephesians chapter 6, beloved. God has already given to you the spiritual protection that is necessary for you to resist Satan. You already have it. There's not some secret knowledge out there that's the key to success. There's not a hidden prayer language that you need to someone to teach you in order that you can gain extra spiritual power. There's not another book besides the Bible that unlocks it for you. That's just not true. God has already given you. Notice that Paul could say, speaking to all Christians of all times, in Ephesians 1:3, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The things that came after, all of this so-called revelation and visions and prophecies, that's not part of it. It's just a distraction at best. And so Paul here, in this extended metaphor, explains to you what it is that God has given you. This is vital to you. You can't live Christian life without this. Now, there's an interpretive issue that we need to address up front. This may surprise a few of you, but we need to address it. Notice in verse 14 and in 15 that Paul speaks about truth, righteousness, and peace. Do you see that, verses 14 and 15? He says, girded your loins with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, preparation of the gospel of peace. Those spiritual virtues of truth, righteousness, and peace. It's a difficult issue in understanding the course of this passage about the armor of God. It's not immediately just obvious that Paul is talking about one thing in particular. And some very good teachers think that as Paul talks about the armor of God, follow me here, that Paul is talking about the practical righteousness that a believer needs to take up to resist the devil. And so they'll describe this passage in the sense that Paul means the individual Christian's character, that you must live truthfully, live righteously, and faithfully preach the gospel in order to fight the battle against a supernatural foe. Now look, that's not an unreasonable interpretation. And there's a certain level of ambiguity in the passage. If you just look at verses 14 and 7 through 17 with blinders on, that makes that an appealing interpretation. And let me say this up front, real clear. It is vital for Christians to be truthful, to live righteously, and to faithfully preach the gospel. That's essential in order to fight the battle. Careless, lazy, indifferent Christians will not resist the devil successfully. They won't. You won't. But here's the question. There's a different question that we need to ask. It's not whether those virtues are important and indispensable to Christian living. The question for us today is this. Understanding, remembering what Paul said, there are supernatural, unseen, evil forces operating against you in your Christian life. That's verse 12. The question is this. Is your practical righteousness your defense against Satan? Does your success in the Christian life depend ultimately on the level of your sanctification? Let's approach it from a different perspective. Isn't your problem in your spiritual life ultimately the problem of your own inconsistency? In Romans 7, Paul said, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I should do. Paul felt the struggle. You can speak to that from your own experience, can't you? You wake up in the morning and you're indifferent to God. Your Bible's been closed the past 7 days since you last came to Truth Community Church. I want to tell you something, beloved. And speaking for myself as well. If my defense against Satan, a supernatural, destructive, deceitful foe, depends on my level of commitment, I'm not confident. I'm concerned about how this comes out, if that's the ultimate ground of defense. If that's the bulwark, if that's the fortress, and it depends on my truthfulness and my evangelistic efforts, my practical righteousness, I don't like the direction that's going. I'm not that confident in myself. Maybe you've been taught this passage this way. Well, I want to show you there's a different way to consider these things. And when you see them by comparison, I believe that you'll see the armor of God is something that is much more than the practical level of the sanctification of you. And so we're going to look at it this way. And I want to set this up a little bit. Let's start with the immediate context. That's how we'll do it for now. Notice something really simple. It's amazing reading different commentaries, how often the simplest and plainest and most obvious things, at least in my judgment, are overlooked and not mentioned. Things that you can see by simply reading the text. Notice this. What's Paul been talking about? Well, in verse 13, he said, take up the full armor of God. Take up God's armor. God's armor limited to my practical sanctification? I sure hope not. That wouldn't be good. He says in verse 11, he says it there, he says, take up the full armor of God. Verse 10, you see, we're just looking at the context here. He says, you be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. He's pointing us not to ourselves, he's pointing to something that is in the realm of God as that which would be our bulwark and fortress and defense against Satan. Stay with me here. I'm just laying the groundwork here. Notice something else. Verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is not a human battle that we're fighting. Paul is evidently and obviously pointing us to something that is outside of a merely human realm that would be our armor and our strength against Satan. What's he talking about? Let's extend the context out a little bit more. Paul said, I'm repeating myself so often. You know why I do that? It's because repetition is the key to learning. And because these things are not necessarily immediately obvious, and I repeat them so that you won't miss them. Why? Because I want you to succeed in the Christian life. I want you to live a life that glorifies God. I want you to know the fullness of His true blessing and not be sucked into false righteousness and false revelation that would lead you astray and would be destructive of your soul. That's why we repeat things again and again. Well, let's consider the broader context of Ephesians, a passage that we've pointed to a number of times. When Paul opened up the book of Ephesians after he had praised God for his gift of salvation in verses 3 to 14, you remember what he did? What did he do? He prayed. He prayed for believers. He prayed for people just like you. And what was his prayer at that time? In verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So that chapter 1, verse 18. I'll give you a moment to turn there. I know where I'm at, but I don't always make it obvious where for you to know where I'm at. So sometimes I have to stop and say, oh yeah, chapter 1, verse 18. This is really crucial in my opinion. Paul says, chapter 1, verse 18, What's his prayer? What is on the heart of this apostle appointed by Jesus Christ for the good and upbuilding of the church? What's on his heart as he begins to unfold to them what the church should be? He says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And watch this. We've seen it 10,000 times here at Truth Community Church. I pray that you would know what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. What? What's this power like? What's the measure of this power? It's when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Notice this, verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Okay, let's take a breath. Paul opens the letter saying, I pray to God that he would open your eyes to help you understand that the supernatural power at work in your Christian life is the very power of the resurrection. And it is that resurrection power that elevated Christ above all rule and authority and dominion. In other words, resurrection power, supernatural power that goes beyond anything that you have in your native human abilities, has elevated Christ above the demonic realm. And if you are in Christ, then you are in a position where demonic powers are inferior to the power that is at work in your salvation. He's pointing to something supernatural in chapter 1. And now as we come back around to chapter 6, he's picking back up on the supernatural realities of Christian salvation. He's talking about something that goes beyond your personal efforts at sanctification. This is so important. This is so vitally important. Beloved, here's the question. What is the armor of God that protects you from Satan? What is it that gives you immovable strength in the Christian life? You should know, if you have any level of self-awareness as a Christian at all, you should realize that to be able to stand firm, to be immovable against supernatural forces, must be something that's outside of you. Something that transcends you and your own level of commitment. And I believe that that's exactly what Paul is pointing us to. What is the armor of God that he calls us to? What is the armor of God that protects us from Satan? Here we go. I'm going to give you three. And when you lay it all out, you're going to say, of course, that has to be it. Point number one, what is the armor of God that protects us from Satan? You should do this. Number one, remember God's revelation. Remember God's revelation. Beloved, what is it that ultimately gives you certainty of truth and gives you discernment between that which is true and that which is false? It's not your own subjective opinion. That can't be it. If it's your opinion and my opinion and we disagree, then we have no means of being able to solve the issue. That's not the armor of God. The armor of God is found in what? The truth of God. Look at verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14 here. Paul says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Now, notice something. A little grammatical observation. The primary command, the main verb in this text is that imperative right at the start of verse 14 that says, stand firm, be strong, don't move off of what has been delivered to you. And that is in keeping with what Paul has been saying all along. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord. Verse 11, you need to be able to stand firm. Chapter 6, verse 13, having done everything, stand firm. And so in verse 14, he picks that up. He says it one more time. He says, stand firm. And so what you need to understand as you're going through this, and this is vital to the health of your soul, really is, that the central idea here is stand firm. And then what Paul does after giving that imperative, picture that stand firm as being at the center, and under that, undergirding that command are four pillars of participles that show what it is that equips you for spiritual stability. Let me say that again. Having said stand firm, Paul now gives us a series of participles that show what it is that enables you to stand firm. And so the participles you look at, verse 14, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, verse 16, taking up the shield of faith. You see the structure of the passage? Stand firm, be a man. How do I do that? Well, you should have done this. You should have girded yourself, put on the breastplate, shod your feet, taken up the shield of faith. Don't miss the central idea. Stand firm. Now we see what it is that helps us to stand firm. Now, Paul says in verse 14, we can stand firm after having girded your loins with truth. Look at verse 14 there with me. Stand firm, therefore, as a result of everything that I've been saying, take up the full armor of God. Therefore, stand firm. And then he gets into detail about what that looks like. And he says, stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. This is what enables you to be firm, is to gird your loins with the truth. A Roman soldier, Paul was in prison. He probably had a Roman soldier right next to him as this letter was being written. A Roman soldier, as part of his equipment, had a belt that would gather his clothing close to his body. Instead of the robe being loose and flowing, maybe hindering his motion, maybe an enemy could grab a hold of his loose robe and pull him forward and put him at a disadvantage. There was a belt that they tied up the robes and gathered them together so that there would be no hindrance in the battle as he engaged in the close conflict that a soldier at that time would be engaged in. Paul says, that's a picture of what you need to do with truth. It's a picture of the centrality of truth in the Christian battle. Martin Luther, in the hymn that we sometimes sing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, says that God has willed His truth to triumph through us. Notice this and notice the distinction. You could understand this, and some men do, saying Paul's talking about the truthfulness and integrity of your own character. And you need to be truthful and have integrity, okay? That's not the point here. But by contrast, beloved, do you understand the foundation, the bulwark, the unconquerable strength of the Word of God by comparison? He's pointing us to God's truth. What is it that makes you strong against all of the deception of the devil? It's not your own integrity. What makes you strong against the devil is the certain, final, infallible revelation of God found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His inerrant Word. That's where the strength is. That's the armor that brings you in, and being committed to the truth leaves you with little in the way of loose garments, vulnerable points where Satan can attack you. Here's the thing, beloved. What's the armor of God as it relates to the belt of truth? We are committed to the revelation of God in Scripture. We are committed to the revelation of God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That infallible Word, that unconquerable Son is that which Satan cannot prevail against. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18. Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said, in a manner of speaking, "Bingo. Peter, it's on that confession that I will build my church, and what? The gates of hell won't be able to prevail against it." Satan cannot prevail against God's truth revealed in Scripture and in Christ. And what Paul is saying is, you take that truth, you embrace it, you give yourself to it, you trust it, you submit to it. And in that realm of truth that God has established, there is your protection. God protects His people when they are under the umbrella of His Word and under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's where your protection is.
That's Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, with part one of a message titled Strong in the Word here on the Truth Pulpit. Next time, Don will provide more insight into how we can stand firm in the spiritual struggle that continues in the world and in our own lives. Be sure to join us then. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also, we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about podcasts. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.